Welcome. Today we're doing a deep dive into something pretty fundamental, how sacred texts are preserved.
And we're going to contrast two completely different models.
Exactly. Our mission is to unpack this huge divergence.
Yeah.
Why did the New Testament have what you might call an uncontrolled transmission, while the Quran saw this incredibly rapid, controlled standardization?
And to get that, you really have to start with the baseline of instability that someone like Bart Ehrman talks about.
Right.
The Gospels, for instance, they started out anonymous. Those titles, you know, according to Matthew, according to Mark, were added way later.
And there was that huge time gap.
A critical gap. Maybe 40 years where these stories were just circulating orally. It's basically a massive decentralized game of telephone. A modification wasn't just possible. It was, frankly, inevitable.
So what was actually happening on the ground then? Who was doing the copying of these foundational Christian texts?
Well, it wasn't who you might think. Not like scholars in a library.
Yeah.
Often it was just an amateur, a literate merchant, maybe a slave, working alone. And they made what we'd call mechanical errors, skipping a whole line because two lines ended with the same word, for example.
But they also did something called harmonization.
They did. And that's less of an accident and more of an unconscious edit. If a scribe knew Matthew's version of a story really well, he might, without even thinking about it, change Luke's version to make it match.
Wait, so they weren't just making typos. They were actively tidying up the text based on what they thought it should say.
Precisely. And beyond those unconscious edits, you get intentional theological modifications.
To fight heresy.
To fight what they saw as heresy, yes. To make the text support their doctrine more clearly. We see this with the Johannine comma. That's the explicit reference to the Trinity that was, you know, inserted into the text centuries later.
And the example from Mark about Jesus' emotion.
Right, Mark 1.41. Some of the earliest manuscripts say Jesus was angry when he healed a leper, which is a really difficult reading.
It is.
So later scribes almost universally changed that word to compassionate. It just felt more right to them.
So the result of all this fluidity is what? How many variations are we talking about?
The number that gets cited is up to 500,000 variants across all the manuscripts we have today.
500,000.
Yeah.
That is just a staggering number.
It is. Now, contrast that with the Quran. The Christian system seems like it almost invited variation. How did the early Islamic community lock its text down so fast and so tightly?
Well, the mechanism for stability was sort of baked in from the very beginning.
How so?
First, you had a single conduit. The text was revealed through one person, Muhammad, over 23 years. So that immediately eliminates this synoptic problem you have with the Gospels, with competing authorial accounts.
Okay, so one source. But what about preservation?
Their firewall wasn't really a written document at first. It was the community itself.
You mean through memorization?
Through tawakkur, or mass transmission. And the Quran was recited daily in prayers by thousands of the prophet's companions. So if any one person tried to change a word,
the entire community would act as a real-time peer review system.
Exactly. The error would be spotted immediately.
And that brings us to Caliph Uthman's standardization, the ultimate act of textual hygiene.
Around 650 CE, so within just 20 years of the prophet's death, he commissions this single, unified, canonized text.
And critically, he ordered all the other rival copies to be destroyed.
Right. An act that made sure those other variant traditions just couldn't survive long term.
And later you get the Ijaza system, which created this closed loop. You couldn't just copy the book. You had to get a license, an Ijaza, proving you had recited it perfectly to a master.
Which established this rigorous chain of custody
that
you just don't see in the anonymous Christian scribal world.
So what does this all mean for you as you're learning about this? The New Testament, it seems, experienced divergence followed by a very slow, gradual convergence over centuries.
A messy human process.
Yeah, very. Whereas the Quran experienced immediate convergence with Uthman, followed by a very contained, authorized kind of variation, the Qirat, which were just different approved ways of reading the same core text.
And this is why modern Western scholarship, like the carbon dating of the Birmingham manuscript, is increasingly validating that traditional timeline.
It's placing the written text right back into the lifetime of the prophet's companions, challenging some of that earlier skepticism.
Which leads you with a final provocative thought to mull over. Bart Ehrman's work really dismantles a fundamentalist view of perfect textual preservation for the Bible. But what if that's looking at it the wrong way?
Go on.
If in Christianity, the Word of God is ultimately a person, Jesus, and in Islam, the Word of God is ultimately the text, the Quran, What is this radical difference in their preservation history? Tell us about the deepest theological priority of each faith. Something for you to explore.